This week we discuss a new season of Married at First Sight.
And the controversial Apple dance at the recent Charlie XCX concert.
Plus we put forward our case for our favourite pop culture conspiracy theories, from Tupac being alive
to Lea Michele not being able to read.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Pop Off Podcast, a podcast where we get into all pop culture of the week. Nope. I just remixed it.
Can you tongue pop? You're really good. Wait, do it again. That's mine's so bad compared to you.
Really, go. Aww.
Mine's like a knock. Yours is like an actual, like the one that you hear on like RuPaul's Drag Race.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard.
I would really like a story time from you. And this isn't your story time to tell. But there was a girl that you were out with. I'm pretty sure her name's Stella and she lost her tooth.
Oh, yeah.
Can I please have the full story time?
Okay. Well, there's not a lot to it, to be honest. Stella is literally the funniest, nicest person ever. And okay, to start from the beginning, right? I was like, oh, do you think you're going to have like a couple drinks tonight? Or blah, 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 blah. Do you want to go for a drink before? And she's like, I'm actually not drinking tonight. I was like, cool.
Oh, and also, we can get onto that, but I want a Buzzball review as well.
Yeah.
Because that was a TikTok I saw.
Oh, okay.
Was it on your TikTok?
No, it was on her TikTok.
Oh, I saw that TikTok. Oh, that makes sense. Right now, I'm following along the piece of my head. Because that came off my thing when you guys were trying Buzzballs. And I'd seen Stella a few times before, but like, I was like, oh, like, I feel like I really recognize that face. So I went on her profile and she was like, I lost my tooth last night.
Yeah,
and I was
okay,
I need to ask Isla for the story time.
Okay, yeah. So then, she wasn't even really supposed to be drinking. I see her at an event and then she's like, I am smashed, like blah blah blah.
What
blah
event?
An ASOS one. And then yeah, we left and then we went to, where did we go? I can't even remember, but we ended up going to get a Buzzball. And then I said, like, trust me, when you have a Buzzball, you don't even remember doing the Buzzball. Like,
I need to try one,
bro. They're so, do you know what, yeah, the genius, okay, little sidetrack, but like, Buzzballs are so geniusly marketed because there's this other drink that's in this little can. It's like a little margarita.
I've seen that as well,
you know, and no one buys those. There's no hype around it and anything like that. And it's all to do with the way that Buzzballs look so kiddish.
Yeah.
So it takes you right back to being a kid.
No, that's so true. Because why I want to try one so bad, but
yeah.
I've never felt like that about any other cocktail before.
No, all it is literally just like flavored tequila. Like, and the other one in the little can, because it's like so... like, it's marketed to adults. Like, it's very, like, got a black, like, it's just very
sleek,
boring.
Mature.
Exactly. Like, I'm not like, oh my God, like, I need to try that. Like, but with Buzzballs, they just look so fun. You just want to try it. And, like, also, you don't know where it's going to be selling it. It's not like, they don't really do them in Tesco's and places like that. They do them in corner shops. So, like, you're like, oh my God, which corner
when
shop has
them?
When
you find one, it's like,
literally.
Wait, this
day,
is so smart.
I know. The other day, I went into, like, it's a bit like Sunny Angel.
They sell them
me.
At B&M's, don't they?
Do they?
I think they
you
might.
You should not tell me that.
Wait, maybe I made that up, but I'm pretty sure I saw a TikTok saying that they sold them at B&M.
Really? Because the other day I went into like my corner shop and there was one just sitting there just looking at me, and it's like this little green round thing and you're just like, yeah, straight away.
I need to find one.
So, right, we had these Buzzballs, we were feeling a bit lit, we were at Shoreditch House, and then she like bites down on an olive and she goes to the toilet and she comes back and she's like, guys, my tooth is literally just falling out. And I was like, surely not, like, sure. And she was hiding her mouth, so I was like, I feel like you're chatting shit. And she's like, no, my tooth is actually falling out. I didn't even see it that night, but she actually ended up sending me a video, like, that night. Later, but I didn't even, like, open the video, I forgot, because I was drunk. And yeah, like her tooth, she's just like.
But what, like.
Just from an olive.
Just normal tooth, like not her.
No. So she, it's like a, it was like a veneer sort of thing.
Oh.
So it was like, but it was like a shitty one from like the NHS.
Right.
Not like a.
Like a dental.
Yeah, dental one. So yeah, that's how she ended up fucking up her tooth.
Oh my God, also, I think I said maybe an episode or two episodes ago that I did a Korean skincare order and it came.
Oh yeah.
And oh my God, so the thing I got is like it's like micro needling in a bottle.
Okay.
So it's a bit supposed to just constantly regenerate your skin cells. So it's like, and I genuinely think I've only used it for 5 days, but touch wood, I actually, and I don't know if it's just because I'm trying to convince myself because I've like literally tried everything, but like my discoloration, I feel like it's slowly going.
Really?
I've got foundation on, else you won't be able to tell.
Well, you like, literally have the best skin ever.
I did have the best skin when I was younger. And oh my God, I was such a little cocky. And I think that's why I don't have bad skin in terms of acne and all that stuff. And I'm grateful for that because I know like how like bad like acne can affect your self-confidence with all the scarring and like it's like so long lasting and Raccutane's so like long and painful and like so annoying. So don't get me wrong, I am grateful for that, but like because when I had really good skin and people would always used to be like, I naturally just had good skin, like I used to wear full beat makeup, would literally remove it with like half-happily with a makeup wipe and never have a spot. And as I got older, and I think it's due to over, well, not think, I'm 95% certain, it's due to over sun exposure from using sunbeds, which is why I'm trying to stop using sunbeds, which has been fine in summer, but I'm worried for winter. I've not gone on a sunbed for like a couple months now.
I was literally thinking about going to get.
But I'm terrified for winter. I'm gonna have to. I don't.
Being pale and like. Oh.
I'm just gonna have to go on a winter holiday.
Yeah. But it's gonna have to be far away.
Yeah. Because I really don't want to go back on sunbeds because I think because some people say that sunbeds clear their skin, and there is something like with the use of like vitamin D and stuff. But I think like with like. Just like the cleanliness and all that. I don't know what it is, but I've just had an overexposure of sun, I think, which has fucked up my skin.
Also because of the intense amount of
And it's just like resulted in so much discoloration around my face and stuff. And I don't know if it's Risha or what it is.
What's it called? It's not Shiseido, is it?
Oh, it's called... the whole bottle's in Korean.
Oh.
And I bought it off a shop online called Shop Seoul. Is it City Seoul? Mm. But... Yeah, it stings. It like pricks you like little needles.
Yeah. I think I saw it on TikTok.
But I've got quite a low dosage of it because it can go up to dose 500.
Should we move on to Pop Topics?
Yeah, let's move on to Pop Topics.
Okay, you wanted to speak about Married at First Sight.
Married at First Sight, quick rundown. I don't know if anyone's watching. Same old, still full of toxic men. There are a few that I don't know. Oh, I don't know the names of.
The one thing, the only, because I don't know if you saw like the ratings for, this is UK by the way, not Australia. The ratings for it has been so bad. Like,
really?
It's like collapsed, but like lowest watched ever, like all this. And I've seen no one speak about it.
Yeah.
But
I feel like no one speaks about it though until it's like.
Yeah, I'm going to tune in when it gets to the wedding, after the wedding, sorry. But yeah. The only thing I've seen people say about it is that the men this year are like so out of the, no, sorry, the women this year are so out of the men's league, so, like in every couple.
Every single woman is so like emotionally intelligent. Well, I say every single woman apart from one lesbian woman, which is just like, she runs away from every situation. I'm talking about like physically, like runs away. Like, she literally gets up and just leaves. Like as soon as like something's getting heated. And the thing is, I must say, I think they both got things to work on, but she needs to stop because that would infuriate me even more. So then the next time they have a conversation, the woman's even more pumped up because she's like, you ran away from me again. And then like, she's like, okay, fuck this. And then she runs away again. So like each time, like they just keep avoiding her. But one of the guys, Women's Aid isn't actually happy at Channel 4 because one of the guys was accused on social media for being like an abuser, and he actually got arrested after the filming because he works for like not the military necessarily, but something to do with that, and he basically went AWOL, and obviously that's illegal. So we went to like military prison he wasn't allowed to take leave. But the men are very like toxic and like think they're way better than all the women, but the women are way more like emotionally intelligent, sure of themselves. Especially that posh Casper guy just grinds my fucking gears. He didn't like the fact that she was plus size and can't look past it and is dying to know why he was matched with her. And he just like, I'm literally just like this. And he also thinks that she reminds him of his twin and stuff like that. But like, yeah, I think you should give it a watch and see.
Yeah, they had someone like that on before. I remember there was like, and he said something about like that girl's thighs.
Yeah, and there's like, two of them that's like that this season.
They were, why? I mean, they keep casting it because it's television.
Yeah, I know. I think it's like a bit, I think it's, there's like, there's that. There's like, not people being like, not liking someone because they're loud and you want someone quiet, or not liking someone because they, do you know what I mean? But then I think when it comes to like body image and stuff like that, that's where they're pushing it a bit too far.
Yeah.
Like if I was on there as a woman and like I didn't, and I was plus or whatever, and I knew that they purposely put me with someone that didn't want someone that was plus size, I would feel so fucking shit. Yeah. Or like being like, someone's not going to be so brave to say, but being someone of colour and you specifically want like a white, do you know what I mean?
I will say though, it is, and I don't know if this is a controversial take, but it is, okay, I was about to use the word refreshing, but refreshing is literally the exact opposite of what I meant. But what I meant is like reality TV's roots was all surrounded in like uncomfortable conversations and like broadcasting to the televisions at home, conversations surrounding things which are common everyday issues. Like the OG reality show, The Real World, was like the first few episodes were all surrounded in like AIDS and HIV and gay people and racism and like all these conversations that are everyday occurrences but are potentially uncomfortable for people to watch. Mm-hmm. And while reality TV has gone on over the past 20 to 30 years, like, it's been diluted so much more down due to the, like, I guess, bigger social media rise and things being taken out of context and mm-hmm. things being put in the wrong place. And, like, it's obviously for a mass blanket statement for a greater good, but, like, it is, like, an interesting take to, because there are so many people still in this world who speak to women in the way that you are mm-hmm. saying, and, like, in a derogatory way towards their body image and their size and stuff like that. And it's an interesting to see it's, like, on the TV, mm. whereas, it, like, back in the day when they would show those conversations, it wasn't shocking to see on the TV because mm. it would be shown on TV and in real life. Whereas mm. now, these conversations are still happening in real life, but it's very rarely showing on television.
That's actually a very interesting take.
And as long as it's being handled in a way that the men who are saying this, like,
being penalized,
are being penalized and taught that it is wrong mm. and it's not being broadcasted and, like, people are laughing about it and showing, like, impressionable young men or boys that, like, oh, let's speak about women like that. If it's being shown on TV in a way that yeah. everyone else is, like, facing the people and being like, why are you saying this? This is mm. so wrong. I don't... And as long as, like, obviously also the welfare is there for the woman who are being spoken to like mm. this behind the scenes for, like, not only when it's happening, but also when it's going to be broadcasted on TV. It's interesting, I guess. I'm not necessarily saying it's a good thing because it could obviously have bad effects mm-hmm. on the people who the conversations are being surrounded by.
Yeah, but I definitely agree, though. I definitely think, like, I definitely agree, like, that take is interesting because... it's definitely better to not be avoidant of things.
Yeah, because they do them. Still
they happen.
Happen.
Yeah,
but that's a very good take. I guess it's just the way, and I haven't watched the show, so I don't know how. But I guess it's just the way that you have you not only show the conversation, but also, like, the, which is obviously something that didn't happen 20s of years ago, and it's a hindsight thing, which we should take for granted that we have the privilege now. But the whole welfare and going into, like, making sure that the girls who are being spoken to in that way have the support behind the scenes from production and mm. all that kind of stuff. Like, that's more important than showing these conversations. But mm. if things like that are in check, then, you know.
Yeah.
But I will maybe watch it. I just think the only problem that I have with Married at First Sight is that episodes. Like, well, but also it's like, I kind of feel like once you watch one season, you've watched every season. Mm. And it's kind of like, people can say that about Love Island as well. But, like, I think because, like, I watched Love Island from, like, 16 years old. So, like, I have, like, a connection to it where it's like, mm. oh my God, I've grown up with this show. Whereas mm. Maths now, I'm like, I feel like I've watched two or maybe three seasons of it. And now every time I try to go watch it again, I'm like, this is the same shit.
The only season that will ever really, truly matter to me, and I'm only just starting, I probably won't, I will stop at some point because I won't watch the whole thing, is the one with, in Australia, I think it's season 6 or 7, if I'm not mistaken. That is the, her name was, it begins with a C. That was the best series. Like, Cyclone Cyril.
I've never even heard
of that. My God. Everyone used to call her Cyclone Cyril.
What, because she was so mad?
She was mad. Like, she was actually mad, but she ate all the time. But she was insane. And yeah, a couple of the couples are still together, have kids and everything. But, like, the maddest people came from that show.
I've seen a few clips. And there was there was a girl from Our Big Brother who was on it. She was called Evelyn. Evelyn Ellis, I think her name was. And she was on Big Brother in the UK, like, back in, like, 20, I want to say 15, like, ages ago, but, like, one of the relevant series. But she is originally Australian. Mm. But to be fair, the first two series of Maths UK I thought was so good. Do you remember when, no, like, the first, when they did the rebrand to Australia version.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Do you remember when, I think she was called Whitney. Do you remember when... it was a barber and a tattoo artist, and, like, I think the barber was called Matt and he was quite good looking, and I can't remember what the woman was called, but she kept speaking about, like, wanting to have sex and stuff, and, like, she'd be like, they'd be on the honeymoon and she'd be like, oh, that fish is, like, what I'm gonna be smelling like later, and he would just be like,
what was he called?
Matt, I think. And he had, like, face tattoos, and, like, he then ended up dating this girl called Whitney, who was in another couple on the show.
Oh, shit. That's what one of the other guys is getting in trouble for right now, because he is, like, talking about switching and shit.
That was my one complaint with Love is Blind UK.
Oh, yes. Wait, hold on a second. Yeah, the Whitney was a black girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, I remember.
Wait, but she was called Gemma, I think. I think his original partner was called Gemma.
Yes. Oh yeah, yes. I remember this. Oh wait, he's with another girl now. And yeah, he ended up going with her. She was fucking terrifying.
Yeah, she was good to TV though. Yeah, the best Maths UK person was I think she was called Keisha, and she was with someone called Kwame, and they went for a home visit.
Oh yeah, I remember.
They did the home visit stage, and he went to her house and saw everything, and then it cut to this, and they sat on a park bench, and she's like, "Why have you brought me to a park bench? Like, this is not your home, right?" And he was like, "No, I just didn't want to take you to my home." And she's like, "Why?" And he's like, "I just didn't feel comfortable." And she's like, "So why have you applied to go on this show knowing this was a key part of the process?" And he was like, "I'm not sure." And she was literally so fucking pissed off, as you would be. Yeah. Like, the home visit was to a local park bench.
And it's such... They film it so awkwardly as well. They do. It's very GCSE.
And the music Maths use are so... Oh, it's so dramatic.
So dramatic.
They beat... Everyone always talks about, like, the Love Island, like, acoustic, like, piano ballad covers. Mm. But, like, the Maths music is, like, stock, copyright-free music that is, like... You would just type in dramatic piano music. Yeah.
And it's, like, the first one that comes up.
I will watch Maths for next week, though. I want to watch it, I think. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch last year's. I think last year's aired at the same time as something else, so I didn't end up watching it, but...
Yeah, I feel like that is correct.
So, Charlie XCX is currently on the Sweat Tour with Troye Sivan. They just did a show in New York, which saw Addison Rae and Lorde all come out. But the main talking point that overshadowed that was the girl who originally started the Apple Dance. You know, she went to the VMAs. Did you see that whole? So she made a TikTok being like, apparently the Apple Dance was nominated for a VMA for Best Viral Moment or something.
What?
And she made a TikTok being like, the dance I made is nominated for a VMA. And like, I've not been invited, which is fine. Like, it's not my song. But if any brands want to take me, like, it'd be really nice, like, to celebrate this moment. And I think... I want to say maybe Captain Morgan's, or it was an alcohol brand. It was like, we're taking...
Someone's coach didn't snap her off or something.
They were like, we're taking a bunch of influencers, like, come with us. So she was like, oh, I've been invited. So now, like, I've got 5 days until the VMAs. Like, if any stylists or anyone, like, glam team, all that kind of stuff, want to work with me, like, let me know. She was really smart with it. She just, like, was so matter of fact about it. And this whole, there was an app called, like, Glam Suite or something, like, gifted her the whole glam process. She got the stylist in. She had all these TikToks about picking out outfits for the events. And obviously everyone was so invested in it now because they had watched her going from, like, asking to, like... And then she did, like, a vlog of the day. And, like, it was great press for, like, the brands that took her. Because everyone was so invested and rooting for her. And she did the whole carpet, which I don't think any of the other influencers going with the alcohol brand got to do. But because, like, the VMAs were obviously so seeing the press, like, she got to do the carpet. She did it so well. She was so smart about it. Anyway, she also was at the New York show. And if you don't know, during the tour, when Charlie XCX performs the song Apple, they cut to a member in the audience doing the dance. And it's like, you know how, like, at the Taylor Swift tour, there was, like, that, like, little kid who came out at, like, in one of her songs, and it was, like, the red kid or whatever of the night. So it's, like, the Apple girl of the night, and this time it was the girl who did the dance. And this...
It was all of that? I thought people were just filming her.
No. So it's, like,
Went on her, like,
night. It's a big thing. Like, there's a spotlight, and it's, like, casted on the screen every night for the girl who's the Apple girl of the night. And in New York, it was the girl... I can't remember her name, but the girl who originally created the Apple dance. And this random-ass girl just, like, pops up out the back and starts, like, pushing her and doing the dance. And, like... I mean, the viral tweet that started this, which is on the board, it says, I really hope that girl knew her, because why would you interrupt her moment like that? But now it's all spiral being like, there's so many different takes being like, because people are being like, I would have beat her up. I would have punched her. I would have pushed her out the frame. And everyone's like, no, you wouldn't.
Yeah, like, everyone's like, I saw people saying that, and someone was like, no, you wouldn't. You literally have social anxiety. Like, shut up.
And then, but now people are on her side being like, oh, this is a girl who's on her first trip, like, one of her first trips ever, and is rolling and, like, has no idea what, like, social boundaries are. Mm. I just think it was this girl who probably was drunk, went to the toilet, like, was walking back from the toilet and saw this going on and was like, oh my fucking God, this is the girl, let me get in.
I would not even know who the girl was. I would have joined in as well.
Yeah, it, she was not, like, that, she is, like, got a few fair followers, but, like...
Not the whole fucking stadium.
Yeah. like, you would just get in. That is something, like, that is so 18-year-old me coded. I would so do that and jump in and... Because you're just an attention... I mean, no offence to the girl, because I don't actually think... I think everyone's reactions is quite overdramatic, but... And the girl who did the Apple dance, who got interrupted, has made a whole TikTok now being like, please leave this poor girl alone. Like,
oh, really?
This is not a big deal.
It's like, not that deep.
But in, she's been internet's pitchfork topic of conversation.
Well, to be fair, like, it brought the Apple girl more to clout.
Yeah.
So I would not... Because I didn't know that... I didn't even think of the fact that someone made up the dance.
Yeah.
like honestly
but
does no one put dance credits at first?
I can't, but the Apple girl dance starter, I wish I knew her name and I could stop calling her Apple girl dance starter. like, but she's got really she's really like, I don't even know if emotionally intelligent is the right word, but like when, because basically Charlie XCX was kept doing the dance and all the comments were like, can you please credit her? Can you please credit her? And the girl who created the dance did a TikTok being like, guys, you can stop tagging me and like, I'm not first. Like, like if I get tagged in a dance credit, that's great. But at the end of the day, it's just a dance. It's not that deep. And it's
okay. So she touches grass. That's
Yeah. And then she's also done a video about this girl being like, you need to leave this girl alone. It's not that serious. Like also, especially when, so from the angle that someone recorded it, she pushed in front of her. But the thing that was telecasted on the screen, the girl who pushes in was cropped out and you couldn't even see her on the screen anyway. So it's like not a deal.
Yeah, also she just carried on. Like, you can tell she doesn't care. Anyway.
And my final pop talk of the week is everyone discussing if anyone can even sing nowadays. Because Christina Aguilera did a, I think it was 25-year anniversary for her debut album, Christina Aguilera. With Spotify, and it was like a live re-recording. And in the song, I think What a Girl Wants, she did a duet with Sabrina Carpenter. And like, I mean, Christina is like, she always has been about the vocals. Like, she's crazy with the riffs and the belting and all that kind of stuff. But poor Sabrina, I mean, she just got eaten up.
Someone was like, Sabrina should have punched her in the face. And that fucking sent me, because what else can you do in that situation apart from be like...
And it's not even like, if that was me, I could just sit there and vibe, but like, because I'm not a singer. Like, like I don't have to, but like, when you're a singer,
and
it's
you're
like...
the biggest pop star in the world at the moment, and then the old biggest pop star in, at the world in that her moment is
she's like,
whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. And Sabrina's just like, nodding silently.
Literally. And the way it doesn't even look like she's doing anything either.
Yeah, she's so effortless. But that has been Christina's thing. You know what? I got in a big rabbit hole of someone. Oh my God, there's this YouTuber who's so underrated. He's called It's Keon. I really want to say, I hope I didn't get that wrong. And he did a really interesting YouTube video on the Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears beef and like how the media, like obviously like the, it was all rooted in misogyny, but like how the pitting against each other was all from like a media monetary gain perspective rather than there actually being any beef. I know we spoke, I think we might have spoken about it on the podcast before, but she literally looks 12 years old.
I know. I know. I don't know if it's sadly but I don't not my business, but like it's absolutely fine. Like she looks amazing.
I don't know if this is not okay to say, but like even 5 years ago, she did not look like that. She looked like her age 5 years ago. I don't understand.
She's got an incredible facelift from, you know, those guys. Have you seen those before and after pictures on Instagram? And like the people, like their facelifts look insane.
I know. I guess that's what money gets you though.
100%.
Because someone was like, this is what being unproblematic gets you. Honey, Christina Aguilera is not unproblematic. She has everything thrown at the book at her.
Really?
Cultural appropriation, bullying, like internal misogyny. Like Christina Aguilera.
I know this might be an unpopular opinion, right? But like, don't you think like someone would be like very like, just a bit of like a, like you don't do anything if you're not being accused of these things?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, someone that's been accused of these things has just been, like, in the limelight and been doing their thing.
What? You mean, like, you're not anyone if you don't have these accusations?
Not anyone. Yeah, well, you're just, like, you're, like, everyone has accusations against them.
Yeah, I guess. And also, it's, like, an ever-changing landscape of media. Like, things which we probably say in this podcast in 10 years time, people could probably, if we all of a sudden become A-list celebrities, could definitely dig up and say like, this isn't okay to say anymore.
Yeah.
So like back in like, not saying that it is okay, but back in the early 2000s, slut shaming was a lot more normalized.
Yeah.
So Christina Aguilera would say some stuff about like people, which nowadays through a 2020s viewpoint is very problematic, but in the early 2000s no one probably batted an eyelid. God, look at me today.
You're on a roll, baby.
But there are someone, I'm trying to think of who is an unproblematic celebrity, but there is going to be someone, like you'll say something, someone will be like, well, actually in 2008 May, did you know that she said the F word to a 4-year-old child? And it's like, okay, great. Okay, so she's not unproblematic because she swears in front of kids.
Yeah.
I guess we just watched, oh my God, we just watched this. I just showed Isla this TikTok before we started of like my new favorite TikToker. She's called Georgie, One Girl Magazine. She said that Jennifer Aniston, which I don't think Jennifer Aniston is unproblematic. I'm sure I've heard something about her.
No, Jennifer Aniston is problematic.
What does she do?
I don't know, but I know she's done something.
This is what, I kind of get what you mean. Like you just hear a celebrity's name and you just go, no, yeah, they're problematic.
I know that
like,
she has done some I think
ex-partner.
No,
I'm getting
something
that vibe
to do with who was it, Jamie Foxx recently.
Oh. Sofia Vergara must be unproblematic.
No, she must be. She's not problematic.
She is like, oh,
she's perfect.
She's perfect in every way. She's funny, she's humble, she's obviously gorgeous. She is like, it's still so successful. And like, but she's still so successful. But like, oh my God, you know what? You're not a Modern Family stan, are you?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were for some
massive,
reason.
That is like the
same.
Only,
and one of my favorite, well, my first favorite fictional character on a television show of all time is Kelly from The Office. But second is Hayley Dunphy.
Really?
I love Hayley Dunphy, and I just saw this clip recently of Sarah Hyland in the street being like, someone asked her to like say something in a video about Hayley Dunphy, and she was like, oh, like that's really weird, like I won't do that because I don't like Hayley Dunphy. And I was just like, it crushed me.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, how can you not like Hayley Dunphy?
Wait, she doesn't like Hayley Dunphy?
Yeah.
Why doesn't she like her?
I don't know,
that doesn't even make sense.
Maybe it's like something to do with like some like a bad time when she was filming the show, and like she associates it with a bad place.
The only bad thing I can find about Sofia Vergara is that she was being sued by Griselda.
Blanco, the show.
Yeah.
Oh, the woman.
The actual woman. I think she actually produced it or directed it. And I don't know if Griselda actually got any say in.
I haven't watched the show, so I don't know like really who. She's like something like the most successful female drug lord or something, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
That's all I know about her, so I don't. But like,
she told Kelly Clarkson to shut up.
But the actual woman.
Yeah. No, Sofia Vergara.
Okay, but is that that bad?
No.
If that's your worst claim against you, I'd go out there on record. Obviously, I don't know the details about the Griselda thing, but if your worst claim about you is telling Kelly Clarkson to shut up, I'm pretty good to go on record say you're unproblematic.
Yeah. That's crazy though. She literally proves my theory wrong.
But then also there's like, I guess there's celebrities who just keep a private life who you wouldn't know if they're unproblematic or not.
Yeah.
Actually, that gets us into this week's main topic.
Yeah.
Because I guess to the naked eye, Beyonce is unproblematic, but obviously there's a plethora of conspiracy theories behind her. And the thing that brought this conversation up was there was a viral TikTok about Beyonce and conspiracy theories adjacent to Beyonce, because Beyonce's whole entire career has been plagued with conspiracy theories. Oh my God, the rain is so bad. And Isla was like, why don't we speak about pop culture conspiracy theories? Because this is Isla's bag.
I love a conspiracy
And this
theory.
Is so not my bag. I'm not a conspiracy theory head.
Yeah, because you just, ask too many questions.
Yeah, it's
like,
so
just
true.
Just shut up and listen.
Just shut up and believe it.
Like, no, like, that's what I said. I was like, can we just, like, believe it? Like,
no, the one, but this is like, yours, I feel like your, because, so we both brought three of our favorite slash conspiracy theories we believe to the stand today. And it's going to be like a debate club of like pleading the case of our conspiracy theory to try and convince the other one that it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, this is actually really good. I like this.
So we're going to give the case of each conspiracy theory. And at the end, once we've put our case forward, we're going to do a strong believe, mild believe, indifferent, mild disbelief, strong disbelief. I'm let you go first because you'll be able to, you'll be doing a lot better than me. Mine are so not serious.
Really? Oh, I love that. That's funny. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Right. So my first one is, it's a bit of a basic one, to be honest, but it's a two-pack one. And, you know, I was actually speaking to my friend yesterday and she came up with these things. Well, she's telling me some of like the facts about it. And I was like, that's actually really weird. Okay. Right. So the people think that Tupac isn't obviously dead and they think that he's still alive. So here are the facts. When he died, it was in a really busy area. It was right after a Mike Tyson fight and it's still unresolved. There's no convictions or anything. He got cremated the day after his death, which is also very suspicious because if someone's been killed or slash murdered, I know they didn't have like forensic science back then and stuff like that, but you still allowed the body to be there a little bit before cremating like your son. I don't have a child, my child hasn't died, I don't know, but especially when it comes to something like he's in like a battle and you would want someone to like suffer with the consequences of murder, because he got murdered, like that's a fact. And there was no public funeral. Okay, right. Before he died, he changed his stage name to Machiavelli, and it was inspired by an Italian philosopher who was known for advocating deception and faking death to fool enemies. And he had a lot of fucking enemies. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, he's getting uncomfortable. He wants to ask questions. Go on.
I know. I'll wait till the end before my question.
Other things. He released more music after his death, and there's been sightings of him, apparently. That's like, whatever. In Cuba, Malaysia, New Mexico. Cuba's a massive one, but there's also loads of people that do kind of look like him. But Cuba does make sense because I think his grandma's from Cuba or something like that. And Cuba's also like kind of off the radar. Like, I remember when I went to Cuba, I mean, this sounds really stupid. I don't know, he's not using Snapchat, but like, you can't use Snapchat and shit there.
Really?
Yeah, like they have like certain things, but it might be different now. This was like in 2000 and pre-COVID anyways. And it is quite locked off from America. Like America and them have beef. And also Suge Knight, which is like a massive record producer and record label owner, has claimed in an interview that he's not dead. And Suge Knight is the one that, I think he went to prison actually, for like, it was to do with like Ice Cube and shit like that. Oh, I can't remember. What's that film called again? With Ice Cube and all of those guys.
Oh,
and
I'm not Dr. Dre. Films.
No.
So, I'm not the girl to ask.
Thoughts?
My thing is, which I guess is the same thing with every conspiracy theory, which you're going to be like so eye roll. I'm like, but why does it matter?
Oh, why does it matter?
Like I'm like, okay, say he is alive. Like, what are we then going to do with that information?
Like, someone could, there might be a lot of answers to a lot of things that are happening in the industry.
Right.
I think like overall for me, especially like the industry, it's going deep. Yeah. It's going into politics. It's going into people like leaders of like America and maybe the world, and a lot of people that have changed a lot of like everything. So showbiz, like everything. So like, it's like, what secrets does this man have? And I know he might have just been running away from his enemies. It could just be that. But then like the questions are endless.
Yeah. You
know? So that's the answer to
I don't like, the thing is, like, I feel like because like Tupac was like before my time, if this was like a rapper who was like at the peak when I was like a teenager, or like even now, I'd say I'd be so invested in it.
Yeah.
But because like, obviously, like, yes, I occasionally listen to like a Tupac song. I'm not like a diehard.
Yeah, neither am I.
So it's like, to me, it's like,
it's hard to hold on to it.
Yeah. And like, I'm not like, oh my God, but like, what about this? What about that?
Yeah.
I guess the thing is, it's like, how it, like, it's just something like most likely you're never gonna know the answer to.
No. Well, you never know.
That's what I mean. Like, there is obviously a chance that someone could come out and be like, hey, yeah, I'm here.
I think like the rate that things are getting uncovered, there's so much money tied into everything and so much evil and so much power that like you don't even know where the ties like connect.
For the Tupac case, I think I'm a mild disbelief.
Really?
Just because with how famous it is, like, do you know what? Like, I'm just like, maybe it's just me being a realist. Like I just like take things on surface value. I'm like, someone will have seen him. Someone would have leaked something. Someone would have said something. I know there is like a, as I said, money and all that kind of stuff, like, can get people to be quiet and can change.
Someone has literally just said that he's alive, and someone very close, tight in the industry.
The idea of like an extremely famous celebrity faking a death and living a secret life while everybody is convinced that you're alive is like a TV plot to me.
But isn't that the whole point though?
I guess.
The whole point is to disappear.
Well, so you're a strong belief.
I wouldn't say I'm a strong belief, but I'll say I'm a mild belief. I need to definitely read more of the facts.
Yeah, I'm not like a... but this is what, like, I'm a strong disbelief because as of right now, I'm sitting on like a... I probably wouldn't think this is true, but I could still still be convinced it is.
So would you give it like a... What, out of 10? 10 being like, believe it.
A 4.
Okay.
Like if someone came like do you know what? Like if someone came out with like even stronger evidence next week, I could be swayed to a mild belief. Mm-hmm. But with the evidence that we have right now, I'm on a strong.
Okay.
I'm on a mild disbelief, but I also think that's because of how like non-personally passionate I feel about that specific one. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel like I could be swayed.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so my first conspiracy theory is the conspiracy theory that the actress Lea Michele is. Illiterate.
What was that?
The girl from Glee, Rachel Berry from Glee, Scream Queens. There is a conspiracy theory. Well, it's quite a famous conspiracy theory, and it's not that long, and it's not serious, that she can't read, and she's illiterate. So, this conspiracy theory came from an episode of a podcast in 2017 called One More Thang, and it's like a pop culture podcast. Mm-hmm. And they were discussing Naya Rivera's memoir, Sorry Not Sorry. Mm-hmm. In this memoir... It included a lot about the behind-the-scenes drama and what happened when they were filming Glee. And one of the passages in the memoir was how... Because she is known to be a nightmare to work with. Like, she is so annoying. Mm. She's so, like, just, like, diva and, like, so demanding and just so, like, ridiculous.
From multiple sources.
Yeah, from people, loads of people who have worked with her. Okay. And one of which is Naya Rivera, who was on Glee with her, who said that she refused to improvise. They joked about how, in the podcast, they joked about how it might be because she can't read. Like, oh, maybe she didn't want to improvise because she couldn't read. It just started as a joke on this podcast. After this, someone came forward and said that she never learned to read because she made her Broadway debut at the age of 8. And since her career took off from there so young, she never had time for school and she never properly learned how to read. And from there on forward, she had to be... people would say that when she was on Scream Queens, Ryan Murphy, who was the creator of Scream Queens, had to read her script and she would memorize it from someone reading it to her and then would go on and just like... read the lines that were written, read the lines on the script like to perfection. Mm-hmm. But because she had been, because she is a theater kid through and through. Mm. So like she would come on and she would say every single word of the script like to the word. Mm-hmm. But people would say that it's actually because she couldn't read and she had to be taught these words behind the scenes. So like, you know when like you would read a script casually and like you'd like maybe miss out a word and stuff, like she would never do that, but that's because she never read the script. She was being told the words. Mm-hmm. And that's why she refused to improvise on any set ever, because she wouldn't be able to struggle. And
so wait, who came up with, wait, I've got a question quickly. Is this facts that this happened, or is this like...
So it's facts that she refused to improvise. And it's more a joke than a serious theory. But like, she's had to come out and be like, I can read, guys. Like, she says...
Oh, is that why someone for World Book Day... What was it? World...
Yeah, someone probably, day, yeah.
Someone put a picture of her up and everyone was like, this is hilarious.
Her quote coming out to shut this down was, I went to Glee every single day. I knew my lines every single day. And then there's a rumor online that I can't read or write. It's sad. It really is. I think often if I were a man, a lot of this wouldn't be the case. But it's just, I mean, I don't believe
it. I
feel
like it would more be the case if she was a man.
I don't believe this theory.
At all.
Well, no, I'm actually a mild disbelief because like it does make sense of like in Broadway from a young age and didn't have time.
Has she proven that she can read?
This is what people are saying. Like people like, you need to go on Instagram Live and read a story. Yeah, but then everybody was like, yeah, but then she's just like, she has amazing memory from having to learn lines from such a young age. She's just going to remember the passage. I'm like an indifferent / mild disbelief. Like, it would be hilarious if it is true, but realistically, she probably does know at least partially how to read.
But why would you not just come out and read? Like, why wouldn't you, like, as a joke, you would go on, like, Elle or, like a magazine interview, get your fucking coin, first of all, and then get them to, like, hand you something, like, random, like, a random paper from, like, the 1920s and then read it.
Yeah, but then everybody would always be like, she knew this was a setup, she knew what was coming. Like, she had a deal.
What about on James Corden, then?
But like, everyone, people could be like,
James Corden is too real though.
James Corden?
No, but like something like that.
Well, it would have to be on something like the news. But like, the news doesn't need to cover this. Like, this is not important.
No, I would say I'm like a, I'm mid. Like in the middle. Because like, why have you just not come out and proven it? Or maybe she just doesn't want to feed the tigers.
It's so funny. But like, everybody just says like, I think, I'm pretty sure the origin behind this photo was when she posted this photo, everybody was like, this looks like a girl who cannot read. Like,
so my next one is Chloe. Mine are quite basic and like bait, but I just want to like go through the facts because I feel like they're interesting. And I've never really read, you always hear about these things, but you never really read up about
them. Yeah, you always hear in passing like, oh yeah, Tupac's alive. Yeah. Like,
so do you know the facts about Khloe Kardashian and OJ Simpson?
Not other than like the facial similarities.
Right, okay. So Khloe Kardashian and Khloe, everyone thinks that OJ Simpson is really Khloe Kardashian's father. So, obviously she's supposed to be fully related to the rest of the Kardashians. However, Robert Kardashian, her dad, when OJ Simpson was going through his conviction and all of this stuff, he was actually his lawyer, which I don't even know was actually going to be, was like legal, because like, are friends allowed to be like, are you like, could you be my lawyer?
I guess so, because how can you prove friendship? I guess there's probably like a law on like familial, is that the word, ties?
Yeah, but I guess like, to the case and stuff.
But like, if I wanted to hire you as my lawyer, like, where's the like physical evidence that like I'm your friend and you can't be my? Do you know what I mean?
Being
like,
on a yacht in Ibiza together.
Yeah, I know, but like,
I would have thought like they would have, like someone would have.
I don't know. I feel like when it comes to friendship, it, like that's such like a, like, where do you draw the line of friendship? Yeah, like, sorry. Like I've also like probably been on a, okay, maybe not a boat, but like I've been on holiday in a restaurant and a brand trip with someone who I've met once before. Yeah, does that mean they can't represent me? Like, do you know, like this friendship's such a hard line to draw. I guess if it's like blood related, it's, or marital, it's so easy to be like, this is proven by like legal documents that you are tied with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
So yeah, sorry, my eye is unbelievably itchy. Okay, don't worry. Okay, yeah, so the ties between the families are very, very close, which then leads me on to the fact that Kris Jenner had some, like, a massive thing about her was her infidelity, and some people were tying that to the fact that it could have been with OJ Simpson, because she said in her memoir that she had an affair during her marriage with Robert Kardashian, which obviously fuels a theory, but she never, ever has confirmed nor denied Mr. OJ Simpson. Actually, she might have denied OJ Simpson, but it doesn't say. Also, physical resemblance.
It is hard to deny the difference, the similarities between Kim and Khloe and the differences between... No, sorry, Kim and Courtney and the differences between Kim, Courtney and Khloe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, they do have some resemblance, but, like, even that... And obviously, I know not every sibling looks similar. Like, with me and my brothers, like, me and my younger brother are a lot taller than my older brother. Mm. But then when a conspiracy theory gets slapped onto a different father, and then it's easy to pinpoint things as obvious to the eye as, like, huge height differences and facial differences. It's, like, a bit... Obviously adds fuel to the fire.
But who fucking knows? And obviously the dates would line up as well.
I'm like a... You know what? I'm a mild believer of it. Mm. Just because it's really not like that uncommon for people to have an affair. Right. And like, not especially with people that you're close with, especially like... people in Hollywood. Like,
and also like, Married at First Sight, there's always someone on that fucking show where their best friend is shagged like their ex or something like that, or their missus. You know, it's very, very common for when there is a lack in one relationship for people to go and gain from another. Still your man.
But yeah, I'm a mild believe. But then I do feel bad for like the person.
They could have been swingers or something.
The person, especially in like Hollywood, like the person that you feel bad for the most in this is Khloe. Like, oh my god, imagine having to grow up and constantly being like. Then, like, because I wonder if Khloe herself, like, obviously she must have, like, you would just, like, naturally question it.
Yeah, that's what I always think in these things when it comes to, like, that stuff. And, like, people have to constantly deny, like, even I'll be questioning if I could read or not. Even though I know I can.
Okay, we have one more conspiracy theory remaining, and that is... And I know people get touchy about this because apparently it's rooted. I was never a big
one. Can I guess?
Yeah. What?
Are they brothers?
No, that they're dating in the band.
Oh.
And that they weren't allowed to come out, obviously, and say that they were dating because, I mean, first of all, they wouldn't be allowed to come out and say they were gay, even if they were, because their entire fan base was built on people fans, well, specifically teenage girls fancying them.
They look crazy alike.
But people were convinced, and there was a whole subbreed of One Direction fans called Larrys, because that was their ship name, Larry Stylinson, because it was Louis Tomlinson. Sorry, if you're an audio listener, it's the conspiracy theory that the One Direction band members, Louis Tomlinson and Harry Styles, were secretly dating throughout their time in the band. But like a lot of like the theories and the conspiracy theories comes from like them like staring at each other in the interview for longer than they would at other band members, or like placing a hand on a thigh, or like singing like specific lyrics to each other in a show. Like it's little things like that which like caught fans' attentions. There's like old tweets of like them tweeting each other at the very start of the band being like love you so much, but like no ever, like they wouldn't tweet any of the other band members.
I can relate to this though, because like, I find that like when I've had best friends, we've been like lesbians. So like that's why like not lesbians, but like in a relationship, sorry. But like we've been like, it's like we're in a relationship, and I feel like that can happen a lot. I mean, I guess like with men, it's a bit like people find it a bit weirder when they can be so close, because girls like are more touchy feely, blah blah blah, and also like they're not shunned upon as much when it's like a girl and girl. But I honestly can understand why people would think that, but like if you've never been in like best friends with someone, then you would also not understand.
They were so, but also they were so young as well. They were like what, 16 17 18?
Yeah, my secondary school friendship.
Yeah, like also like you don't really know, like I guess you probably wouldn't overthink like the like
being gay.
Yeah,
well I thought like
no, I mean the like consequences of like tweeting something like, especially it was an early stage of social media.
Yeah, you would not, yeah.
But like they have, the thing, like there's still to this day so many like diehard like people who believe this, and they're called like Larrys. And like, but like they've both come out and like spoken about how the shipping and the excessant like fan pushing of them being together like completely destroyed their friendship to the point that it made like everything so awkward, and like it just like completely killed their friendship. But yeah, I mean, mostly evidence of this, all you need to watch is like Google like Larry Stylinson compilation, and it's just like compilations of like interviews of like, as I said, like saying in an interview like, oh yeah, I date Harry, or like that kind of stuff, or like hugging for longer than others. But throughout all this, both of them had public girlfriend relationships. Mm-hmm. And also, it brought so much hate onto the girlfriends, of people being like, you're a beard, like, screw you, let them live their truth. And it's like, hold on a minute, like, I am just in a normal relationship. Mm. And now all of a sudden, like, it's actually kind of fucked. Mm. But I think I'm a disbelieve.
Yeah, I feel like I'm at more a disbelief.
Especially if both of them come out and say, please leave us alone, like, you've ruined our friendship.
Yeah, and it's literally ruined their friendship.
Like, how can you still sit there and be like, no, you're lying?
Yeah.
And also, even if they were lying, I guess when it comes to something as, like, controversial or slippery slope of sexuality, it's kind of like, okay, if someone's telling you that, you have to take their word until they tell you any further. Like, but anyway, I hope you enjoyed our conspiracy theories.
Yeah, that was fun. I like this episode a lot.
Do we have a What's Poppin?
What's Poppin' of the Week? Mine's NLE Chopper or what?
Really? I didn't know you were an NLE Chopper fan.
I really like him. And I like him because not that I'm anything like this, but I just found it very interesting. One of my friends, she is a photographer, and she done a shoot with him. And he is like, when he came out of prison, like he turned like completely vegan. Like he's so eco-friendly. Like no one there was allowed to bring plastic bottles or anything like that. They all had to be like, it was very like, OTT, but like I just found it very interesting that he's got this whole new perspective on like life and how the world should be treated, and you wouldn't expect it from him. And he's got really good energy, and I feel like he's quite like, not, I wouldn't say feminine, but he does things where like he's like about, obviously he's talking about having sex with women, but he's like very like, I don't know how to explain it. The way that he moves is like quite.
Someone tweeted, like, complaining about NLE Chopper, saying that he is using gay aesthetics to boost his career, and it is exactly why people be saying it's a gay agenda, as in, like, like right-wing people saying, like, people are pushing a gay agenda. Mm. And then they finished it off by saying, all these straight people want to be us now without respecting us. And I quote tweeted it, and I said, like, this is like this is so further from true, especially in a genre of music which is riddled with homophobia and like it's a huge like thing of like the words like gay and the F slur being thrown out in rap songs like willy-nilly. And Ollie Chopper has been not only like turned like he's like performed at Pride events, he's spoken out like told his fans to like stop using gay derogatory slurs and like told his fans to like, oh, if you're homophobic, like I don't like you're not a fan of me, and like there's just something so like so I was just like I just, it was so eye rolly that like also they were saying like using gay aesthetic, it was like a coat with like extended shoulder pads, or like he did a Paper Magazine shoot where he was naked and holding a birthday cake over his trunk.
Yeah,
but like how, what is gay about that?
Yeah, I know.
Like that's so anyway,
because the thing is it's such a fine line between that stuff, because then it's like why are you trying to like are you saying that that is now,
but I'm a big NLE Chopper fan.
Yeah, that's good.
I follow him on Instagram, which I feel like I say this every episode, it's so rare, so like now it doesn't sound that it's that rare, but I don't actually follow that many anyway. Oh my god, I've been re-obsessed with Mattia Buena. She only ever released one album, but my God, I've been listening. I never pretend to be something I'm not. Oh. You get what you see and I give what you got. We live in a real world. I'm not a little girl. I know exactly who I am. And all I can do is be true to myself. I don't need permission from nobody else. Like, God, that girl came into the studio. Also, you know, so I'm reading this book right now called Reach for the Stars by, I want to say, Michael Craig. And it's all, like, interviewing British pop stars, mainly, like, in bands from the early 90s and early 2000s. Mattia Buena went in the studio with George Michael. So George Michael, when she was in the Sugar Babes, asked to record a song with her. And the manager said no, because they thought it would look bad, like, Mattia doing, like, I mean, you could do a whole video about the Sugar Babes history. But, so Mattia was so upset. And then when it was announced that she was leaving the band, George Michael was like, oh my God, I can finally like have you like, and actually, let me get my book. Cause I actually want to get the, it's I can't be asked to find it, but it's something. Mattia Buena is one of five only ever women to it's either release a song with George Michael or be in the studio with George Michael. Mm-hmm. And the other people are like Diana Ross, Whitney Houston, like Mariah Carey.
Oh, wow.
And George Michael's on that album, as well as Amy Winehouse. Like, I'm sorry, if you only ever release one album and the two features on the album, well, technically three, because Groove Armada is also on the album, but the other two are George Michael and Amy Winehouse.
Mm-hmm. That's mad.
And my favorite song on it as of right now is It's Not Easy. And I also love Suffer for Love. She's got such a lovely tone of voice.
I wanna listen.
Listen to, I think you'll really like it.
Okay.
But if the people want to find you, Isla, where can they find you?
You can find me on TikTok at Isla and Instagram at Isla Loba.
And you can find me on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Looking for Lewis. You can also find the Pop Off account on Instagram and TikTok at Pop Off Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube, Pop Off Podcast, or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And we will see you next week for a brand new episode.
Ciao.
Bye.